Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Little Swatara Church, this first Sunday of Advent, and a hearty welcome to all those who are visiting with us today. I don't have any announcements to bring before you other than what's printed in the bulletin. Does anybody else have any announcements?
This is the last Sunday that the youth will be selling their smelly jellies. What is a smelly jelly? It is a little air freshener like a candle. It's a nice pretty gel. It's scented. It is great for places like nursing homes and college dorm rooms. There will be someone out in the narthex to take orders after the service. Come see us. They're really, really nice and very pleasant. So come and see us.
Any other announcements? I'm not seeing any, so let's turn to joys and concerns. Bob has a microphone. Anybody in the choir have any joys or concerns this morning?
We have a joy. This week we had a scare. Jun's brother, Galen, only has one lung, and that lung partially collapsed. But he is doing really well, and he's going to be coming home tomorrow.
Good. Any others?
I have a gentleman, a good friend of mine, a longtime friend. He's suffering from cancer, and his name is George Dehart. And I would like to have you ask God to help him.
Any others? Pastor Bob, share with us.
Early Thursday morning, I'll be leaving for the Dominican Republic to lead a pastor's conference and then participate in a work camp there. So remember us, those of us, there'll be a group from this district going to do the work camp. Remember us in your prayers.
Any others? Let's turn to a time of worship. Let's rise and sing hymn number 189, "To Us a Child of Hope is Born," and remain standing for the call to worship. Thank you. You royal family of David, isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You may be seated as we turn to hymn number 178. Please turn in your bulletins or look at the screen as we share in these words of promise and hope from Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord.
Throughout Advent this year, we're gonna learn this little tune, Be Glorified. This morning, we'll sing it through twice.
Jesus.
actually, it sounds pretty good. Let's try it again. Pray together. Lord, we've come here today to join together our voices with the angels who said, who sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among men and women." Lord, we come today to glorify your name, to lift up the name of Jesus above every name. We've come here to fall on our knees and to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And so, Jesus, we say, be glorified here in this place and throughout the earth. And may we, as we anticipate this wonderful celebration of your first coming upon earth, your birth in Bethlehem, may we glorify your name. May we not get so caught up in Black Fridays and whatever they call this coming Monday and all of that stuff, that we forget about you, the one whose name shall be named. Even in the word Christmas, it's Christ that it's all about. So thank you. And thanks that we can come together and support one another and hug one another and pray for one another and stand with one another. Thank you that we can have each other's backs during those hard times, that we can laugh together, that we can weep together. Thank you. Continue to be with the John Meck family as they grieve the loss, John. We rejoice with the High family that Galen is doing well. We pray that you'd be with him. We pray for George DeHart. You know his needs. Bless his needs according to your riches in glory. We think of our brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic who have some different kinds of challenges than we have, but they're our brothers and sisters. They speak a different language, but we're all called to speak the language of love. So be with them as some of us go down to be in ministry. And Lord, we know that when we do ministry, we receive more than we give. And so we pray that we would bring back much from our dear brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic. Many others we could have named this morning and didn't name them, but Lord, they rest heavy on our hearts. So hear our prayers now as we silently lift up our prayers for others. Lord, we love you because you hear our voices and you answer our prayers. And so we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who is glorified, the one who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
for the offertory this morning. I'd like to just share a brief reading that we came across in our devotions this week. And it has to do with God's gifts and the light. And since this is the first Sunday of Advent, I thought it might be appropriate. It's more of a prayer, so just listen as I read. I am, right now, living in the pure light and love of God. In fact, I can never be denied God's wisdom and love because I can never be separated from the presence of God. And it is from this total awareness of God that I pray. God, I recognize that you are the one presence and power in my life and in all the universe. I have complete faith in you. God, you continually bless me. Your gifts of life and breath could never be bought or earned by me, and I do not take even one gift for granted. I have faith that my needs will be met according to your divine plan. God, thank you. Even when I feel that my words of thanks can never be enough, I thank you by living in your light and love and by sharing your gifts with the world. Let's pray. Father, these gifts that we give this morning are just a token of the many things you have blessed us with, and we just want to give thanks for that. We just ask that your blessings continue to be upon us and upon these gifts that we are about to give, that your work might be done. In your name we pray, amen. I left my bulletin over there. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Okay. Thought that was it, but just want to make sure. You know, this is a great time of year. I always enjoy this time of the year. When Advent starts, we start singing the Christmas songs, the hymns, the choir music. I actually started listening to Christmas music about 2 weeks ago. And Mary said to me, she said, "I can't believe you're listening to Christmas music already." I said, "There is so much fantastic Christmas music, you can't listen to all of it without starting early." So we pretty much have Christmas music playing through our house this time of year all the time. And it's just a wonderful thing to announce the birth of our Lord and Savior. From Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient in death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Pastor Bob.
"They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." Well, with that tremendous advertisement for waiting, why is it so hard to wait? One of the most agonizing times for me as a child were those couple of weeks leading up to Christmas. And Christmas Eve was, I'm not exaggerating, it was tormenting. I have distinct memories of laying there in bed, trying to go to sleep, and literally praying that God would help me get to sleep so that I could then wake up and go downstairs and see what my gifts were that morning. And I could never imagine why my dad wasn't so eager to go downstairs. I'd go downstairs, I was generally the first one, and my sisters would follow, and they would always send me up to get Dad out of bed, and I would go up, and my dad was an Olympic snorer. And I have inherited his mantle, Carol will tell you. And so Dad was there just in a deep sleep, and I would shout his name and pinch his toe, and finally he would, with great reluctance, get out of bed and drag himself downstairs. I didn't find out until years later, when we were kind of beyond the Christmas myth, that the reason Dad was reluctant to come downstairs is that he had just gotten into bed. We had a family tradition of not having anything up when we went to bed on Christmas Eve. And we had Dad put out an elaborate platform with trains. The platform, he had it up on risers, so that there were four compartments under the each section. Each of the four children had their own section under the platform where their gifts were, and there was a little curtain around each one, and there were two Lionel 027 gauge trains and a little streetcar that would go back and forth through a village where all of the houses were lit, and there was a fire house and a gas station, and they went through a mountain tunnel, and then the tree sat on top of this in a pipe that was fastened there, and we had an old house with 10-foot ceilings, so we'd have and everything was dead. None of that existed when I went to bed that night. And so just about the time I was waking up at O Dark 30, Dad, it was just finally drifting off into a nice sleep, and he had great reluctance to come down. Well, waiting is difficult. When we have this idea about waiting, that waiting is mostly about being still and not doing anything. But when Isaiah promises us that they that wait upon the Lord, he's not talking about just sitting still, sitting there twiddling our thumbs, waiting for God to do something. But it's a kind of anticipatory waiting. It is to anticipate the divine activity of our God that can break our chains, that can throw doors open, that can set us free to experience all of the grace and the glory of the promises of our God. It's that kind of waiting that we're called to be about during this Christmas season. It's a sense of anticipation of the great work that God has done and the great work that is yet to be done by the Lord Jesus, who came to bring peace on earth, goodwill to men and women everywhere. You can't really have the kind of Christian lifestyle that we're called to have without that kind of understanding of anticipating what God is about to do. It being a Christian, and this is, somehow we need to get this word out to folks outside of Christ and the church, that they think, you know, becoming a Christian is just this boring thing where we sit around and we pray, you know. We don't ever do anything. We just sit around and we pray and we sing these old hymns and we just kind of sit around and wait to die when we can go to heaven and then the party begins. You know, that there is that sort of understanding that folks have. And to live as a Christian is to live on the edge. It's to live on the edge of an adventure where we're constantly anticipating the next thing that our God is about to do. It's that kind of waiting that we're called to be about, to anticipate the greatness of our God. As William Carey, the great missionary, said, to expect great things from God as we attempt great things for our God. It's that kind of waiting. And that kind of waiting is epitomized in the person of Simeon. This elderly man. Let me read the verse of introduction about Simeon. Verse 25. Now, and this is after Jesus is born. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. That's what it means to be a child of God. We're constantly looking forward for what God has promised to do in our lives. Now, this passage from 2 Philippians, from Philippians chapter 2. Seems like not quite an Advent passage, but I chose it because it was, as far as we know, one of the first hymns that the church sang. And this was a hymn where they named two things. It began calling us to have this, the mind of Christ, the same attitude that Christ has. What is that attitude? It is to humble oneself, to empty oneself, to become a servant, even willing to die for the cause. So it begins with that sort of sense. And that's what we're called to in this world, that we live in a way where we place ourselves under the authority of our God. That's what it means to humble ourselves. It doesn't mean that we go around saying, oh, gosh, shucks. No, I'm not really a good preacher. Gosh, golly, you know. Oh, no, the choir. No, we're not that good. No, you know, we have this to humble ourselves. Means to place ourselves under the authority of our God. And we can't have any real authority until we humble ourselves, place ourselves under God's authority, and choose to empty ourselves of the stuff that kind of holds us back, ties us down, makes us run slower. We can't jump tall buildings and do all the kinds of stuff that we're called to do when we're weighted down with all the stuff that we carry around with us. Humble ourselves, empty ourselves, become a servant people. I am best. I do my best work as a leader when I strive to be a servant leader, not somebody out running ahead of everybody else, trying to win the race, but as one who lives to lead others by serving others and by serving Christ. And so that's the milieu that we live in as Christians. But always, with the end of the hymn, therefore, God has highly exalted this Jesus whose mind we're called to have. God has highly exalted him and given him that name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's a double-edged sword, where on the one hand, we're called to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves, to live as a servant people, but always with the knowledge that we are called to have the mind of the one whose name is above every name, the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And so that's why I chose this to get us started, because it is a hymn that anticipates where we're to have our eyes as we seek to live as a servant people. So to wait is to anticipate. And it's also to work as we, remember that song? Whistle while you work, Hitler is a jerk. That's how we learned it when I was a kid. And I can't say the rest. It's not PG. Did you learn that, Gary? No. You're just a young guy. You didn't learn all the good ones. Yeah. There is this working component to waiting. The only way to really wait is to work. Because if we sit and wait, just like when I was that kid in bed praying to go to sleep, it seemed like an eternity to get to sleep. And so waiting is best done while we're working. And besides, God does his best work while we're working and not even paying attention to what's going on. And suddenly, God comes crashing into the midst of what we're doing. That's the way it was that first Christmas night or morning, whenever it was, shepherds were out abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and suddenly an angel appears and says, hey, don't be afraid. Man, have I got some good news that will bring great joy to you. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And God comes crashing, God loves to come crashing into those moments of our lives when we least expect it. In fact, if you go through the scriptures, it is rare that God shows up in a dramatic way in the moments when we expect God to show up, you know, when we're at church, you know. In fact, church is one of the least likely places where God will show up, because his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And so our God delights in just kind of showing up. Kind of like, I love that Easter story of the two disciples who are scared out of their gourds, and they're getting out of Jerusalem as fast as they can, and Jesus comes and walks among them. They didn't recognize him, you know? And that's the way it is. When we least expect it, while we're at work, if we live this anticipatory lifestyle, we're like Simeon, you know, expecting to see the Messiah, that we will recognize him when he comes. They ought to write a good choir song about something like that, shouldn't they? Will you know him when he comes? Well, you will, if you're expecting him in the midst of your work. To wait is to anticipate. We always wait as we work, and we always worship as we work. That's the other thing that we see happening in the Christmas story. The angels appear, and they start worshiping God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. That's the final, that's the opening scene of the story. The closing scene of the story has magi, wise men, coming from afar, and they're looking for Jesus. They've seen his star, and they explain to Herod's boys, we have come to worship him. That was the whole intent. And when they finally found the baby Jesus, who probably was about 2 years old by that time, they broke open the gifts that they had carried from far away. They presented their gifts, frankincense and gold and myrrh. And then they, and I love this, they fell down and worshiped him. It wasn't, you know, a polite sort of brethren kneeling at the pew to pray. You know, they fell down before him to worship him. And there's that whole, you know, humbling ourselves before God, falling down in the presence of the King of Kings. They fell down to worship him. The final story is Paul and Silas. Because they lived with a sense of anticipation of what God intended to do, they were willing to put up with beatings and stonings and imprisonment. And so they just happened to find themselves in prison. And what did they do? They began to worship, to sing, and to pray. And it was their worship. I don't think it was an earthquake. I think it was their worship that broke open those prison doors. And my friends, worship will still have that effect today. As we live in anticipation of all that God intends to do. Listen, the best is yet to be. I think you're finally going to get a pastor around here who knows what he's doing, or she's doing. I firmly claim that for you. We're called to live with a sense of anticipation of all that God will do. To continue our work as we wait, and to continue to worship as we work. Let's pray. God, thanks. Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. We allow ourselves to get so lost in what I believe in your eyes is the minutiae of life. It's stuff, it seems so important to us. It's stuff that often we're willing to lay down our lives for what you would consider minutiae. The minor stuff, the small details are the things that we fight wars over. Forgive us. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, so that we will know him when he breaks into our midst. Help us to live with such a sense of anticipation that we can say with old Simeon, I am ready to die. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Help us to live with anticipation as we continue our work, carrying oil with us so that our lamps won't go dry. And help us to worship as we work. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and sing O Come, Emmanuel, number 172. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We shall rise up with wings like eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not grow faint. And so let us learn to wait with a sense of anticipation for all that God intends to do in our lives. Let's continue to do good work as we wait, and let's always worship the name of Jesus as we work and as we wait. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.